Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain.
There's no reason to touch
it. And inform you in the afternoon.
I think your cheeks are a little loose.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, hi there, everybody. Welcome to Pilgrim Maserati on a Friday. We call it Agenda Free Friday, where you set the agenda. Anything from the week we've gotten to or have yet to get to, it's all up to you. It's driven by your phones. Hi, Mass.
Agenda Free Friday. Good, you?
Good, Peachy. Thank you so much. We're brought to you by Planet Fitness, the world judges. They don't. PlanetFitness.com. I have logged into my computer, so I give out the number at 617-779-0985. Jimmy, you may release the hounds. The calls get loaded up. As soon as you're ready to go, we go to you, but we start with opening thoughts. Maz, Murray, who wants to go first?
Murray, you go first.
Sure. I think there's a lot to take away from last night's Chargers win over the Chiefs, mostly the biggest thing being the big juicy plums on the Chargers. They're for real. They're not the San Diego Chargers anymore. They're the Los Angeles Chargers, and they proved that. But I want to focus on the Chiefs because that's exactly the style of game that's probably coming at some point in the playoffs, probably early. That defense is just enough, just good enough to tease you to think, oh, you know what? Whatever the flaws are, well, Pat Mahomes is going to end up bailing this team out because, well, Mahomes is so good that he's going to make up for any of the mistakes that the defense makes, and we're going to have the ball in our hands last, and it's going to be all right. No, they're a tease. They're a big tease, just like the Patriots defense, by the way. But just like these other games that have got tight that have been close, like when the Chiefs were playing the Patriots, when the Chiefs were playing the Rams, their last series, ooh, it got real tight. Real tight. And who were the real playmakers for the Chiefs last night? It was Damian Williams, their running back that they basically got off the street, right? Or they, I don't even know where the hell he was left. I think he might have been with the Dolphins. But Damian Williams was really their one playmaker, and Tariq Hill made some plays. Other than that, thought the Chargers did a really good job on Travis Kelce. They have big fat Kelvin Benjamin now, and he's useless. Doesn't look like Sammy Watkins is going to be back. It just feels like if you double Kelce, there's not a lot to be had there. Again, like, Tariq Hill's going to make his plays, but I don't know. Like, you just saw it get tight late for the Chiefs, and there's that inherent loser thing that...
Right, so what is it, Murray? Is it the talent or the tightness?
I think it's the tightness.
Thank you.
And then you saw at the end, too, Andy Reid. Oh, my God. Like, that game was a blueprint for what's going to happen to the Chiefs in January. I'm convinced of it.
Isn't it?
Because Andy Reid, he calls a timeout that benefited the Chargers.
Unbelievable.
I couldn't believe it.
The guy won't call one to help his own team. He'll call one to help the other one.
Like that, if you're a Chiefs fan and you're watching that, and you're like, okay, everything's really been going our way this year. Okay, that sucked that we lost to the Rams. Sucks that we lost to the Pats. But, boy, this team's rolling. And even though we lost Kareem Hunt, things have still been going for us. Yeah, these games have been a little bit tighter, but we're going to be good. And boy, Patrick Mahomes, maybe the most dynamic player in the whole NFL. And I don't have to worry about Andy Reid anymore at all. That was the blueprint of stupidity and how the Chiefs are going to lose in the playoffs. They got tight. Their playmakers, Kelce got doubled, or they just don't have enough talent at certain areas at wide receiver, probably being the most thing, and on defense. And Andy Reid turned into Andy Reid at the worst possible moment, calling that timeout when he absolutely shouldn't have. Like, that to me was, again, the blueprint of how the Chiefs are going to end up losing the playoffs.
There's
that game last night.
Murray's opening take. Maz.
Okay, so to me, last night, I thought that was a fabulous football game. Absolutely fabulous all the way around. And there was one thing in the game that I absolutely positively detested. Okay, because to me, that was a playoff game, effectively between, in 2018, two NFL heavyweights. You got a 10-3 and an 11-2 going nose-to-nose, which is effectively a playoff game. I mean, to me, it felt like a playoff game. That's what it was. It was a big game, a real big game. And you know what I don't want in big games? I don't want the referees making ticky-tack calls that ultimately could influence the outcome. I felt like there were a bunch of them in that game, particularly in the fourth quarter last night. Get out of the way. Get out of the way. If no one's bleeding and it's not egregious, then don't call it. If it's a little bump or something of the like, then don't call it, and particularly as it pertains to the defensive holdings. Holy crap, how many teams get bailed out now by defensive holding on third down, fourth down, over and over and over again? It feels like it's happening. I actually went and looked this up this morning. And really, defensive holding isn't up over last year. It's pretty much the same. I don't remember it being quite this bad last year, but last night felt awful to me.
Oh, it was. Yeah, those last two drives between both teams, the officiating was horrendous. And the call, the non-call on Phillip Rivers when he took off, cheap shot against him, no call. And then they may have the makeup call on the pass interference that they shouldn't have thrown. Like, I get it, it's a makeup call, but that wasn't pass interference. The refs were way too involved with that game last night.
I mean, really, it was. I thought they just injected themselves into the play there for a while. And what I would tell you just quickly, I looked this up, from five years ago to now, defensive holding calls have gone up over 50%, 53% in 5 years. It's just they're way too prevalent in the game, and the officials are injecting themselves in the game. That said, the league has gotten what it's wanted, which is more offense, and now questionable catches are catches and not incompletions, as was the ball on the sideline last night late in the game. And I don't remember which receiver it was, one of the Williamses, I think. You know, maybe or maybe not had possession. I knew it was going to be called a catch. So the league got what it's wanted, but the officials got to get out of the way.
Okay, mine is quickly on Patriots Steelers. It's a huge swing game in terms of my perception of the team. I just start with me. I don't know about you, but my perception of the team is going to, I mean, really, I think it's a make or break game. It tells me what they are or what they aren't. And notice I'm just saying it's perception, because in the standings, they could lose it and still get a bye and still be roughly in the same place. But I feel that this is not their kind of year. This is not their year. Okay? That they're good, not great, and they come up just short. That's just how I felt from day one, from the second, frankly, Brady missed the spring passing camp. It's just not going to be their year. So I haven't come off that. And if it's not going to be their year, then they're not going to win in Pittsburgh. And that's that. That's why I have the Steelers. But if they win that game, you got to sort of take them a little more serious. Or I do. I'm not talking to you. I'm me. I've got to say, well, okay. Well, they're going to be 12-4 again. They're going to be the 1 or 2 seed again. They're going to walk into Pittsburgh and beat the Steelers again. What's really changed? They're the same old team, and they're in the same spot. That's what happens if they win. If they lose, it's, see, not their year. This is usually the game they win. So in terms of my head and my perception of the team, this game tells me everything. It tells me everything, really. And so there you go. There's my opening take. As promised, right to you on an agenda-free Friday, everything on the board from the week. Derek and Foxborough, start off with a thought from last night.
Yeah, that was your typical Andy Reid choke job at the end of the game. Chiefs had the ball with 3 minutes and 30 seconds left. All they needed was put it in Mahomes' hands and let him close it out. Instead, what do? First play, run for -3 yards. I mean, you've got to put it in the MVP's hands. And I don't think the Chiefs are going to win with Andy Reid. Do you realize all three of the Chiefs' losses have been in prime time? Like, when the lights get bright, Andy Reid can't handle it.
It's a chokey, chokey team.
But that thing with the timeout, Chargers had 3 seconds of the play clock, no timeouts. You have Phil Rivers arguing with the ref for like from 15 yards.
Unbelievable.
And he calls a timeout. Andy, like, you can't script that. Like, a Hollywood hack writer couldn't script that. Like, here's been the narrative surrounding Andy Reid his whole career as a head coach. The guy doesn't know how to manage the clock, and he did it again. Oh my God, I can't believe it.
I mean, that was unbelievable.
I mean,
was unbelievable.
Look, the clock was stopped. It's not like the Chargers needed that timeout. I mean, the Chargers were out of timeouts, but it wasn't like the clock was rolling.
Right.
So it's not that Andy Reid stopped the clock for the Chargers.
Yeah, but the play clock was running down. You're looking at a penalty there.
Okay,
yeah.
So maybe you're looking at a play clock violation, or at least...
And it also gets Rivers an opportunity to calm down.
Catch their breath. He just got sacked. You know, it was scrambly now at the end. You know, the Chargers were out of timeouts. He had just gotten sacked the play before, and it's like... Okay, now you've given them the chance to catch their breath and figure things out. And boy, that was so, but the whole sequence was, I mean, from the moment the Chiefs went up two touchdowns, it was, here's the Chiefs. Defense couldn't make a stop. On that next possession, Chargers convert a 4th-and-3 on a defensive holding. okay, on a defensive holding. Then they kick off. Now it's okay, you need one first down, and they immediately get an illegal block in the back on the kickoff. It's like immediately, even on the special teams, on the kick, it's like, oh, here we go.
That whole sequence for Kansas City was brutal.
So they kick off, they take a illegal block. Now they're back on their 11, as the caller said, minus three on a run, short pass completion, sack. That's how they go. Run for minus three, short completion, sack. Three and out, bang.
There was another penalty in there.
And a false start. Don't leave out the false start on 3rd and 8. On 3rd and 8, they take a false start to make it 3rd and 13.
It was the second tight end, number 84. Like, you know, it was unbelievable.
Okay, so then the Chargers get the ball back. They take a hold on their first play. Now you have them 1st and 20. You think you're okay, right? You're in good shape. You have them 1st and 20. Nope. Very next play, 31 yards.
That was a good throw.
31 yards. Then you get them to 4th and 7, and Rivers throws a dime to Benjamin. That was sweet.
Awesome.
Sweet ball. I don't really blame the Chiefs for that. He put that in a spot.
I thought both of those were good throws.
But either way, oh my God, so Chiefs. So Chiefs. Agenda Free Friday, everything on the board. Joe in Danvers has a Red Sox thought for us. Go ahead, Joe.
Felgy Mass, happy Friday. Jim, what's up? I wanted to tell you guys my opinion on Mookie Betts and see if you guys could agree with me. It's because he didn't get pitched to in the World Series. He had a terrible World Series, so they may be bumping him up to two. They didn't pitch to him. Finally, game five, he hit that solo dinger, but I think he's way better than that. And
No, Joe, they pitched to him. He got pitches to hit, and he missed them in the World Series. So that part I disagree with you on, but if
they
you want
to Jackie Bradley, Maz, they gave the balls to all the other crappy hitters. They let Jackie Bradley take them deep. They were like, we're going to lose. We're going to let Jackie Bradley take us deep.
Yeah, go back.
They're not going to let Mookie Betts just take them yard.
Go back and look. He got pitches to hit.
Okay, yeah, I know. He wasn't on point, but he definitely didn't get as many looks as Jackie got.
So and then I'm sorry. He didn't get as many looks as Jackie got. Well, of course. Jackie Bradley's your 9-hitter.
J.D. Martinez got pitched more carefully than anybody in that lineup, and he had 14 RBIs in 11 games.
Is Betts going to get more or fewer pitches to hit in the two-hole? I mean, if there's men on base, aren't guys going to be even more careful with him?
Probably, yes, but he does have Martinez behind him. So the last thing you want to do is put two on for J.D. Martinez. So that can work both ways. What he's going to get is more RBI opportunity. That's what he's going to get. He's going to get more RBI opportunities.
Okay, we are off and running on an agenda-free Friday, and we're going to pay off all of the great folks that donated for the Felger and Maz show sit-ins. So we're going to bring in the guest host starting at $250, and it's going to be Will, and I lost my email in front of me to get his last name.
I think it's like Loring or something.
Will,
right?
Loring. I'm sorry, Will. You're standing right out there, and I lost the email, so I, of course, forgot your name. But he's going to come in at $250, and we'll start doing our guest co-host starting at $250. You get $250, $350, and $450. These guys were really generous in donating to Christmas in the City, and we just can't thank them enough for what they did for that charity and the amount that they donated. It was really tremendous, and so we're looking forward to that. The guest DJs, Maz, it's going to start again at $250. You ready for this?
I am ready. Yeah, fuck, I'm ready.
Again, this might be a one-off thing. We'll see how annoying these guys are. Hold on. It's Will Loring of the South End. Will Loring. Exactly right. South End at $250. He'll join us. Your calls, though.
Yeah, I'm sitting here with Felger and Maz, and I have a bunch of topics. I got a list in my pocket of things I want to get to.
$250 for Will. Your calls right after this.
This is Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something.
Come back and put it in my face.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Felger and Maz.
They suck.
On Boston's home for sports.
4 seconds on the clock. 28-27, the Chiefs lead, and the Chargers will go for two from the 2-yard line. This is the game. Shotgun snap. Rivers rolls to the right, throws to the end zone. Caught! It's good! It's good! Mike Williams with the grab! Chargers lead 29-28. There was no one. The closest Chief was in Kansas City, Kansas.
Back here on Felger Maz. That was predictable last night, Murray.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it wasn't what. In hindsight, I look back and say, "Yep, that's the Chiefs."
Well, when the Chargers got within a touchdown, even though it took them forever on that drive, it took about 5 minutes for that drive to make it 27-21. I was like, "Oh, okay." Like I can see it, but I don't know. Are the Chiefs really going to do this? And boy, on their last. Like, the last time that they had the ball, and they immediately went 3-and-out, it's like, oh, they're really going to do this. They're going to turn into the Chiefs.
Penalty on the kickoff, minus yards on the first run, short completion on the second, offsides, sack on the third, punt. That's all they go when they it's just...
Many times have you seen that with that team in big moments? And this is why I said earlier, like, that looked like the blueprint of how they're going to end up losing in the playoffs. Like, you can just feel it happening. No matter how talented Mahomes is and how good that team has looked so far this year, there is that inherent, like, tightness thing that surrounds them.
Clockwork.
You know, he's not ready either.
He's
Mahomes,
not.
He's not ready.
He's not.
He's good. I mean, he's good. He's talented.
How's he not ready?
I just think he's still a little too loose. And that's all. Like, he's loose with the ball, flipping it around. And so, sooner or later, the other thing is he's inexperienced. And these teams, I think you saw some of it last night in terms of maybe not knowing exactly what he's going to see in key spots, having to hold on to the ball just a little bit longer, and that ultimately it could bite them in the ass.
While we're at it, things that bug you, the Chiefs' offense still bugs me. Like, all these...
The movements.
Oh, my God. The slip screen, backside screen. This guy over here, that guy over here. This guy in motion. We're going to fake two guys this way, roll that way, hit for a little screen on the backside. And, you know, a lot of it works. I'm not telling you. They scored one of their touchdowns on one of those kind of screens. They fake the dipsy-doo this way, turn around, throw it backside, you know, like... But it's... Oh, it's just... It's
a lot of nonsense.
It's a little over-schemed. When you've got a quarterback that good, let him go back there and throw the freaking ball. All the dipsy do. And then there's plays where I watch the Chiefs and I say, well, if it's not for Mahomes, this thing is a sack. I mean, how many times is it a little sort of an Aaron Rodgers thing where the play's not there, then he has great mobility and ability to throw on the run creates the play. So it's like either you're overcoached with some sort of dinky dipsy do screen, or the play's not there and he just makes it because he's so singularly spectacular.
Yeah, there was one in either the first or second quarter. It was 3rd and 7, and he ended up rolling out to what would have been his right. And he had three guys on him. And he threw the ball, and they ended up getting the first down. But I couldn't believe it. It's just how fast and dynamic he is. Like,
so, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think his talent is through the roof.
It is. It's ridiculous.
But I'm with Maz, though. You know, last night, the Pats game, especially in the first half, the game against the Rams, their last few possessions, there's a tightness thing there, and I get it. Like, this is his first year as a starting quarterback, but I don't know.
Okay, 617-779-0985. Agenda Free Friday, everything on the board. Michael in Dartmouth has a Celtics thought for us. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, what's up, fellas? So
So if Kyrie and the Celtics can come to a deal after the season, which Kyrie mentioned that he would like to re-sign with us, that would actually allow for us to be able to go get Anthony Davis, which I know you said we can't do, but it's only because he's still on the Cavaliers contract. So if he gets off and re-signs a new deal, then we can get Anthony Davis. So I want to see if you think what would it take to get it done.
Okay, Tatum and Brown. Take Tatum, Brown, and that Sacramento pick, which doesn't look like it's going to be that great even. But I'm just telling you, it's going to take Tatum. So you willing to do that? Because what else?
That's a toughie.
What else would, you know, once you've locked up Kyrie, what would the Pelicans want?
Tatum and Brown.
Yeah. Tatum and Brown and probably something else. So I don't know if you want to do that. You can go do that.
I mean, Brown, I'd give up, and I have always felt this way. So this has nothing to do with the way one guy has played this year versus how the other guy has played. I've always felt Tatum was the better talent there. But
how many years does Davis have left? Because it feels,
I think it's two. A couple. Yeah,
yeah, he's got two left. I think he's an automatic for the Lakers. And if you know the Lakers, their window's a little tighter because of LeBron. So you know they're going to want Davis now. So they're going to have to give something up. But I just think Anthony Davis can steer himself to where he wants to go because he can really squelch any trade by saying, I'm not re-signing that.
Sure.
You can tell the Pelicans, yeah, go ahead, trade me to the Celtics. I'm not re-signing.
I mean, in that league, the franchise player has all the power.
And he can tell the Celtics, I'm not re-signing. Go ahead, trade for me. Great. But as soon as I got a chance. So, you know, Davis switched agencies, went to LeBron's agent. I just feel like that's a fait accompli, whether the Lakers pull a trade to get him there early or they just wait. Is it 2 years after this or it's this year plus next year? Whatever it is, you know, I just think that's where he's headed.
Yeah, look, you might be right. I mean, honestly, I don't want to give up Tatum. So my gut says the good news is you got a few more months to figure it out because they're not making the deal during the season anyway. So let's see what Brown looks like. Maybe his stock goes back up and somehow you talk him out of Tatum.
Billy in Rhode Island, what do you got for us on Agenda Free Friday? Billy, you got to turn down your radio, your TV, however you're consuming us there. I'll go back to you. Justin in Shrewsbury, what do you got, Justin?
Hi. So the Chargers have had two road primetime wins, like in pretty convincing fashion, and both games have been without Melvin Gordon. So if it came down to it, like, would you be more afraid of the Chargers coming
in? Wait a minute. You're saying it doesn't matter who they have at running back?
See, go ahead. I'm glad this topic came up.
Really?
No, I mean, like, they're doing this without Melvin Gordon. So when
I'm stunned. I can't believe you would just put in another running back and be the same kind of team. That doesn't seem right to me because the running back's so important, crucial.
It is.
Definitely. I don't even know why they got off the bus without Melvin Gordon. You mean they're winning these games without their starting running back? No.
Not just a starting running back. Their first two. And Kansas City, same thing.
It doesn't matter who the running back is.
In fact, wasn't last night really a referendum on that topic?
Every week is. It doesn't matter.
Kansas City had a street free agent and a seventh-round pick back there.
It doesn't matter who the running back is. It doesn't matter.
And the Chargers,
does not matter.
The Chargers had some guy from Northwestern. Is that where he's from?
I don't even pay attention to it. It doesn't matter. He's just the running back. It's the running back.
Northwestern.
Some are better than the other. Some are better than others. Sure. But it really doesn't matter who's back there. It really doesn't. And we've seen it a million times over. So, I don't know. I think in some ways, when your bell cow back, the guy that needs the ball, is out, you're better off. You're more diverse, opens up your passing game. You don't have to feel the need to hand the ball off. So that doesn't surprise me one single bit. One single bit. Do you have to look at the Chargers differently after these wins?
Yeah, yes. A little bit, yeah. I mean, again, I think what you're seeing there more than anything is grit.
They're 6-1 in one possession games. 6-1. I saw this stat today, and I don't know where they started the timeline, but they're 6-1 in one possession games this year after being 10-23 in those games the last, whatever, 3 or 4 years. So, like, you take them out of San Diego and all of a sudden they're not the San Diego Chargers, as Murray said.
No, they're the LA Chargers.
Did they get San Diego beaten out of them?
It was the marine fog that was weighing them down.
It makes perfect sense. Just soft, soft town, whale's vagina. Seriously, how could anyone ever, has anyone ever won anything in San Diego?
I'm aware of.
Man, have San Diego ever won a championship?
No, the Padres haven't won anything.
I think they might have gone to one.
Oh, they got killed by the Yankees.
Embarrassing 96 World Series.
Yeah.
I thought there was one in the 80s, too. But either way, You can't win in San Diego. This softened it. You automatically lose like half your toughness. You have to donate a testicle when you enter San Diego. You just can't. So they leave San Diego and all of a sudden they have some guts. That's something, huh?
It is. It's unbelievable, really. Between the Pittsburgh, there's grit there. There is. I mean, they were on the ropes early in that game.
And
they came down the field, got a touchdown, made it a game again, hung in there. Were they down 14 twice?
Yes, they were down 14 with 6 minutes left, Maz. Kansas City scored in the fourth quarter. It was whenever
they might have been down 14 three times. They were down 14, zip, 21-7, and 28-14.
Yep, they were down 8-15 when they got the ball back in the fourth quarter. So, yeah, they take them out of San Diego, and you toughen right up. Huh, go figure that. And there is something about the road. I mean, I believe in it. Sort of that road toughness quality really can really take you places. I mean, you can win championships if you're that kind of team. And them playing in L.A., I think it sort of turned them into that, because even those, and they were talking about it on the TV last night, those are kind of road games for him, too.
Right.
The freaking quarterback still lives in Whale's vagina. He takes a car back and forth every day. The crowd is always for the other team. So it's like, you know, I don't know. It's a sort of great way to rally around yourself.
No, it's a good story. I mean, they're a good story. And I'll tell you, watching Rivers in the early part of that game last night, I thought, and I have felt this way for a long time. I actually even texted Murray about it. He doesn't get that much on the ball anymore. And now he had the wind at his back in the fourth quarter, and he threw the ball better. But it's almost even more impressive that he can throw the ball to a spot like that without having the zip he used to.
Here's an update, and we come back with more here on Gender Free Friday.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
How are you approaching this Pittsburgh game?
Yeah, every team's got to win at this point. And, you know, this is a tough game. This is a big challenge. They've got, you know, they usually have a great home field advantage. The fans are into it. They got a great offense. I mean, Ben is as good as there ever has played. You know, they got some great receivers in Juju and AB, great tight end in McDonald and Jesse James. They got a good, great offensive line, solid on defense. I mean, they've drafted well. They've got players in the secondary, linebacker, D-line. They've got a lot of great things going for them. So, you know, anything less than our best or anything that keeps us from scoring points is going to be a problem. We've got to be able to execute, take advantage of our opportunities and not, you know, give away any points, whether that's turnovers, whether that's missing opportunities to score in the red area. Those are going to play a critical role in the outcome of the game.
Tom Brady with Jim Gray last night. We'll play more of this interview coming up. There were some whoppers from Brady in this one. This interview stood out to me for a couple of reasons. We'll give you some examples coming up. But in the meantime, back to your phones. As promised, Agenda Free Friday. Billy in Rhode Island, have you turned your radio down? Billy?
I am here.
Hi, Billy.
Sorry about that.
It's okay.
Felger, I think I'm with you on this thing. They're so unpredictable. I don't know. One week I'm saying, boy, they look good. The next week I'm saying, boy, that defense looks terrible. The next week it's the running back can't do anything. And then they get the injuries. But they're gone now. But then they still don't seem like they're a unit for me, like they used to be all the years we play it, just playing football, hard football together. They just seem they're missing that. And I think that's what's going to show up in Pittsburgh. I'm with Jimmy. I think they're going to get beat.
Okay.
I think, I really do.
Okay. Me too. And Billy, thank you for the call. Have a good weekend. It's just, I wasn't a believer in the team to start the year. Nothing has really changed my mind. I thought they'd be a double-digit win team. I thought they'd win the division. I thought they'd be right there for a home playoff game and a bye. Like, I never felt, never did I go, oh, this is something I wasn't expecting. Ever. So, I didn't believe them to start. They did nothing to sort of change my mind. So, if that's the case, then they lose this game, right?
Yeah. That's just sort of how I feel.
That's basically how I feel about them. Yeah, I didn't believe about them going into the year relative to what they've done in the past. So I figured around 11-5. And then after the Vikings game, I kind of turned. I turned a little. I was like, okay, maybe I'm wrong. And the defense is the strength of this team. And then Miami happened, and I'm out. Yeah, I don't believe them in them, and that's why I'm picking the Pittsburgh Steelers this Sunday.
Yeah, I didn't turn after the Minnesota game.
The only problem is that everything you just said about the Patriots, you say about the Steelers.
Yes, absolutely. So this is why I guess that's a setup for saying if this game's just in a vacuum.
I wouldn't bet this game with your money.
If it's just in a vacuum, and I take out everything else, and just those 60 minutes, those two teams, like, how do I pick against the Patriots? I couldn't.
Right, based on their history.
But I felt the same way at the Super Bowl last year.
Yeah.
And it's not, you know, I just don't feel it's... They have that kind of team.
They don't. I mean, we're all falling into this. We're applying this old sort of Patriot logic to this team, and I don't think it works. So, look, I told you, the one thing I sort of feel about this game, somebody's going to have a chance to win the game at the end, and they're going to blow it. I don't know if that's the Steelers missing a kick, the Patriots missing a kick, somebody dropping a pass, a fumble. I have no idea. Someone's going to have a chance to win it, and they're going to blow it.
Okay, Anthony Medford. Go ahead, Anthony.
Hi, Mike. This is the way I feel. As Maz mentioned earlier, the Patriots, if they get out in front, they got a chance. Because what scares me is the defense hasn't been able to stop the run all friggin' year. And they sat out Shelton last year. He's their biggest fatty they got. And if they can't stop the run, Pittsburgh's got so much talent. They better pass first. Between Juju Smith-Schuster and Brown, and they got two tight ends, McDonald. That scares me. They have to get out early.
Okay, let me just stop you. What scares you the most in this game?
The beginning. And when I say that, I feel whichever team gets out in front is going to win. I really do believe that. I don't think either one of these teams are mentally tough enough to sort of withstand that now. I think they're both flawed in that way. So you're in Pittsburgh. It's a hostile environment. You get off to a bad start, I think you're in trouble. I just don't have any confidence in the Patriots' ability to overcome that. And so, you know, in Miami, they got off to a fast start. They still lost. But in the games on the road where they've got off to bad starts, for the most part, they've been done in. And so, you know, now look, they came back in Chicago, I guess. But that required, what, a block punt and a kickoff return? Like, so I wouldn't bet this game with anyone else's money.
Cam and Taunton with the baseball thought. Go ahead, Cam.
Hey, guys, you know, I hear this rumor, what if Machado goes to the Yankees? If Machado goes, let him. Because you know what? He would fit perfectly on that team and the bunch of losers that they all are. Between him, Stanton, Severino, Sanchez, Judge, New York, that is a team. I'm going to take a quote from Matt from the Dodgers. They are a stupid collection of talented losers. And it starts with the manager on down. If Machado goes to the Yankees, good. It's just going to make them even more losers.
Do you feel that way, Maz?
I mean, there's some of that, but remember that a lot of it was the same collection of guys the year before, and they look like winners. So what I would say is, in baseball, more often than not, you know, it's more about the talent than it is about a lot of things. So if getting Machado allows them to trade Andujar and get a pitcher, well, that's going to make the Yankees a good team. So I just, you know, do I believe in some of the losers on that roster? I mean, we've talked about...
Where's Stanton?
He's on the list.
He's on the loser list?
I mean, I'll tell you, the more you watched him, the more you came...
Wow, so you've come off of that at least.
Well, he's not a bum.
Progress,
yeah.
Murray. Progress.
But the ability to, you know, he just...
That had to be painful.
He'll chase balls out of the strike zone over and over and over again.
It's pathetic.
And Sanchez is another one who's a loser because he doesn't want to get in shape. But Judge, Gregorius, like, you know, there are some winners on that team too.
Okay.
So it really becomes about what the personality of the team is.
Agenda Free Friday, everything on the table, including baseball, which is what our first Christmas in the City Award winner and auction winner wants to talk about. He's a baseball guy. Will Loring of the South End has already informed me he wants to be a co-host, not the host. So he's going to sit into the Bedard chair.
Okay, good.
And you and him are going to seam out. You're going to dork out on baseball.
I don't know if he's going to be able to fill Bedard's chair, but we'll make it work.
I've also told these guys they get to pick their rejoins. Right, whether it's a song, a bumper, or a bit or something. So we'll pick something out to come back from break. And we'll do that right after these words in our long commercial-free segment.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
What can we say about Felger and Maz that you haven't already screamed in your car?
Sit on that one, bitch, and spin.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Down he goes. A strikeout for Eovaldi as Bregman is now 0-for-4. Second time they've struck him out tonight. Dropped down a little through the riser at 102. Four-seamer by Bregman.
102 miles an hour. 102. Bregman comes up late in the game. Eovaldi goes 102. Sit your ass down. Post that on Instagram, bitch. Like, that's what that was. Oh, I love that. That, to me, was one of the great moments of the game. Oh, did I love that. After that whole thing, here's Bregman in the box. Here's Eovaldi on the mound. Elimination night. 102. Suck on that. They wouldn't throw him a fastball the whole series. 102, you can't hit that. Sit your fat ass down. No. Oh, I loved it. Oh, God, did I love that. 102. When's the last time a Red Sox pitcher threw 102?
That stuff usually comes home to roost.
What a bullet. Oh, my God. Sit on that one, bitch, and spin.
Felger and Maz on an agenda-free Friday, and we're paying off our Christmas in the City auction winners for the studio sit-in, and here's the first. Will Waring from the South End joins us now in our Town Fair Tire Studios. You picked that sound, right, Will?
That bite alone was worth the donation. So I was very much looking forward to that.
Just because it was entertaining, or that's the one time Maz was actually positive about the Red Sox?
A little of both. Mostly entertaining. Mostly entertaining.
So we'll do the segment first, and then we can get to all your shout outs and everything. And again, when we want to thank you so much for your donation to Christmas in the
very
City.
Very generous of you. Yeah.
You bought this time. The next three guys that are coming up bought this time, so they get to do what they want. Will's going to have some shout outs coming up at the end of the segment. But if you were doing a sports segment on the Red Sox right now, what would you be saying?
I mean, you were a couple of days ago, Maz was talking about, you know, complaining about the Nathan Eovaldi contract. And, you know, my feeling on the matter is the Red Sox have so much dead money right on the books with Ruzny Castillo, Panda. Eovaldi's not a guy I want to draw the line in the sand with. So, I mean, I've never seen anything like that. If you're talking about, you know, for me, it's Derek Lowe, Game 7, LCS, Pedro 99 versus Cleveland. And I mean,
Eovaldi.
Yeah. I mean, and I put him above those guys, like what he did, two relief stints, games one, games two. And then, I mean, I was up till 3:30 in the morning. So seven innings, and this is third game in a row. I mean, that was insane. So if you're going to push it with salary, and I'm going to, who cares if you're overpaying with all the money they, you know, they've wasted on these. Yeah.
So basically, you donated to the charity. You came here to tell Maz he was wrong.
More or less.
Good. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. Yes. Good start. Yeah. Well, no, excellent.
Money well spent.
Well done.
Exactly.
What else we got? What else was he wrong about?
Yeah, but you got to call me an a-hole or something is what you're going to do.
So you guys are talking about defensive shifts, I don't know, a week or two ago, and how you don't like
banning
it.
Them, yeah.
But we all agree that pace of play is like a problem in baseball.
Do you agree? Yeah, I mean, as a baseball guy, Will, do you agree?
Huge problem. Huge problem. Like, I can't. Clay Buchholz, Dice K, David Price, these are unwatchable games. When these guys are on the hill and, you know, I've turned down free tickets. I can't watch those guys pitch. You know, they nibble and they sit on the mound. It's just like, you know.
Excruciating.
It's brutal.
It's excruciating.
It's brutal. So, you know, kind of tying in a defensive shift, and I'm kind of going on a tangent here, but to me, that speeds up play.
The shift does?
Yeah.
Why?
Because more outs.
Yeah. I mean, you're extending a game by having fielders in their regular position.
Okay, but there have been studies out there, and I understand the logic, but there have been studies out there that what effectively results is longer at-bats and more walks, believe it or not.
So okay. Deeper count. So, Will, how teams are trying to defeat the shift is trying to hit over it. They're trying to hit home runs, right? So that means deeper counts, more swings and misses, deeper counts, more walks. it doesn't. You would figure that more outs would contribute to a shorter game, but it doesn't. There's longer at bats.
Okay,
I mean that's what they found.
Yeah, right. Listen, and just because I'm saying it doesn't mean that you have to believe it.
I was not aware of that data, but
you're so you, like of all the things you come here and talk about, you want to talk about baseball. You're a baseball guy because what I get a lot when I complain about pace of play and things. Well, you don't like baseball. You're not a baseball guy. So, like, you know, I am. I grew up loving baseball like everybody else. I have a hard time with it now. So it's good to hear it from baseball people.
Yeah.
Baseball people have the problem with it. Non-baseball people will never like the sport, whether it takes 45 minutes or 4:45, right? But for us who do like baseball, that's who it's important to. So there you go.
Yeah.
Sorry. Not to take up your time. What else you got there on your sheet? Celtics future? Do I see a Celtics future thing?
Yeah, here? No, my buddy Matt Thornhill wanted me to... talk about the Celtics draft picks and whether you know they should move.
How does he feel about him?
I think he wants Terry Rozier gone. I actually
good. I like him already.
I copy and pasted.
Invite him in.
Yeah,
he's right on that one.
Yeah. So, but no, I think it'll be interesting to see how they do between now and the All-Star break. But they have Sacramento's pick, Memphis's pick, the Clippers if they stay. You know, in the top 16 or in the playoffs. So I wouldn't mind seeing them potentially, you know, trade Terry Rozier and a pick or two picks just to get some complimentary piece if it looks like they can win it all this year. What they've won 7 or 8 in a row now.
I'd be willing to bet that's in play.
Yeah.
I bet you that's in play. That the idea of moving someone at the deadline, I want to say the deadline is like February 7th or something like that. It's usually, you know, it's usually a little later. I think they moved it up.
Yeah.
So, but I think that's in play, that they would make that kind of deal to help this team.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Okay, what else you got there, Will?
Want to take a call or two?
Want to take a call?
Sure.
Done. Let's take a call with Will Loring here, our great auction winner for Christmas in the City. Ibby's in the van on the Patriots. Go ahead, Ibby.
Hey, how we doing? Will, good job for donating to Christmas in the City. I just wanted to talk about yesterday. I think it was Murray who wrote a piece on how there's a possibility that the Patriots might not make the playoffs.
Yes, he did.
And today I was listening to Zoe and Bert, and they said that we still have a shot at the first seed.
True.
If Kansas City and San Diego take a loss. So I was just wondering, what do you guys think is more possible? I heard you guys think that.
Sure, what's more likely? Ibby, I'll cut you off. Will, what's more likely, the one seed or out of the playoffs?
Two seed. They're not getting the one seed.
None of the above. They're now just a game behind. KC drops one more, you run the table. KC's in Seattle this week,
so what happens if it's a three-way tie?
So I don't know. With San Diego?
I think if it's a three-way tie, I think the Patriots end up winning it. Or if it's a four-way tie. Because I think they still go to head-to-head first. They've beaten Houston, and they've beaten Kansas City. Kansas City and San Diego have lost to one another.
Will, where are you on the Patriots? You a believer this year? That's a no.
Home field.
Yeah, that is a no.
They have to play in Foxborough. They're not winning in KC. Or Los Angeles.
I know. See, I have the same problem. I go San Diego all the time. That's what I think. No, look, they haven't won on the road. Why would you believe in them on the road and you don't?
No. I mean, that Miami loss was brutal.
All right, Will, thanks again for doing this. We really appreciate it.
I appreciate it.
Give me your shout-out.
Yeah, no, staying with the theme of kids and Christmas, I wanted to recognize my two godchildren, Sears Cutler and Ellie Foster, and some honorable mentions to Annabelle Cutler and Hadley Dennis. And one more thing.
My ex-wife's name is Cutler.
Okay. Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll talk about that.
Brookline? I don't know. Hingham?
Any relation to Jay?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
We'll find out. And one more. My buddy Dave Oswald said he would make a generous donation to Christmas in the City if I dropped his name, so...
All right,
so you're dropping his name.
Do it, David. What's his name again?
Dave Oswa.
Okay, so now we're paying.
East Greenwich, Rhode Island.
Okay, Dave, if you don't contribute, we'll know now.
Oh, yeah. Don't be like Murray, Dave. Yeah. Have long arms. Reach into those pockets.
Yeah.
Will, where do you work again?
William Ravis Real Estate. So I'm a real estate broker in the city. Okay. Back Bay, South End, mostly.
There you go.
Oh, fabulous. Yeah.
So when you're driving clients around to show apartments and whatnot, do you have Felger and Maz on? You couldn't possibly, could you?
It depends on the client.
Yeah, very good. Good answer.
Yeah.
Will, thank you again much for your donation to Christmas in the City. And thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, Will Loring there from the South End. We'll continue with our guest sit-ins next hour at 3:50, but we'll get right to your phones after this. And I do want to get to that Brady interview last night with Jim Gray. I think it was a whopper. We'll get to it right after this. No commercials, just an update. I also have a giveaway for you, something for free right after this.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.